Well, today I want to pick up again on our Committed to Christ series. This series is one that focuses on six steps that's going to help us help lead us to a generous life as Christian disciples of Jesus Christ. Six foundational steps that'll serve as a roadmap, helping us to become mature in Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I started this series, and we started off with prayer, and I shared how we cannot do too much of this good thing, and that there is power in prayer, power from on high that can certainly transform our lives and transform the world around us. But prayer is to be that thing in our lives that we should really keep simple. It's just like talking to a friend. And that's what Jesus calls us, is it not? Friends? So we really shouldn't make it all complicated or difficult and try not to get all caught up in theological detail or flowery religious language. Just simple prayer from our heart. And almost all of you made a commitment to grow at least one area in your life, in your prayer life, and some of you were ready to kind of revamp and supercharge your prayer life, and man, that is great. But no matter what degree of commitment that you made here a couple weeks ago, I trust that God has blessed you as you have drawn closer to Him in this time, as you have prayed and as you have continued on with that commitment. Now today I want us to move on to this next foundational step that'll help lead us to a generous life as Christian disciples. And friends, that is simply reading God's Word. It's getting into the Word and reading it not just to be reading it, but to read it for all it is worth. Listen, when you take God's Word into your hands and then you take it into your heart and into your life, it is the greatest treasure in this world. Do you know for the longest time, people didn't have Bibles. People didn't have access to God's Word like we do today. You couldn't just go into a store and buy a Bible. You came to church is where you came, and you listened to the Word of God being read by your priest. That was the totality of your Bible reading. But you know, today we not only have Bibles in every bookstore, but we have translation after translation after translation of God's Word, and not only in English, but in other languages too, that we can go to our bookstores today and find. And if you don't care for a paper copy, then man, you can download a version to your iPhone or to your iPad. And if you don't care for reading, well, that's really no problem, because you can go online and just have to go to Bible Gateway and click the button, and you can hear the Word of God shared with you. but even though we have all of this access just at our fingertips, do you know that there are still about 180 million people speaking over 1,800 languages that have no access to God's Word? There's about 7,000 languages in active use in our world today, and of these, there is at least one book of Scripture in almost 2,900 of these languages. One book. Not an entire Bible in the language that they understand best, but one book, like maybe the book of Mark or the book of Acts. Think about that. Church, I want to tell you, we are so blessed to have this wonderful treasure before us and to have the opportunity to take it into our heart and into our life. The theologian Albert Outler once was asked, "What is the Bible?" And he said this. He said, "The word means book. For Christians, this is a book that is unique, that is a unique book of many books with many kinds of literature, saga, history, law, poetry, prophecy, with occasional pieces like Esther and Ruth and Jonah and Job, and one gospel in four versions, a slice of early church history, a collection of epistles, and an arousing but bewildering climax. It is one coherent narrative from Genesis to Revelation." It is the story of what God has been doing and what He will always be doing on this earth for His people. It is the story of what He has designed us for and what He rightly expects from us. It is the story of what we can count on from God. Covenant making, covenant keeping on His part, covenant making and covenant breaking on our side. It is a book that helps us become truly human. Oh, did you hear that? It is the story of what God has designed us for and what God rightfully expects from us. It is a book that helps us become truly human. You know, I wonder what would change in our life if we truly allowed the Bible to help us become all that God wants us to become. I wonder what would change in our life if we truly learned how to listen to the words of Scripture and to accept the words of Scripture and to live life, to truly live out the teachings of Scripture. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that kind of journey in your life? Are you? Come on, are you? Okay. You know, at the age of 46, Eric Weinmayer is a world-class athlete. He's a skydiver. He's a long-distance biker. He's a marathon runner. He's a skier and a mountaineer. He's an ice climber. And in fact, his specialty, though, is mountain climbing. In fact, he has climbed all seven of the highest peaks on Earth of the seven continents. And he is only one of 46 Americans to have done this. What's amazing about Eric is that he's blind. When Eric was young, he suffered this degenerative eye disease. And by the time he was 13 years old, he was totally blind. So all of his climbs have been without the benefit of eyesight. Eric is a blind mountain climber. In fact, he became the first blind person to reach the top of the world's highest mountain, Mount Everest. And you're probably wondering, now, how in the world can a blind person climb any mountain, let alone, you know, the highest mountains of the seven continents? Well, if you asked Eric, he'd respond, "I've learned to listen well." See, Eric listens to a bell tied to the climber in front of him, and he listens to the climber's partners, to his climbing partners who shout back instructions to him, like drop off 2 feet to your left kind of thing, you know. And he listens to the sound of his pick jabbing the ice so that he knows whether his step is secure or not. For Eric, being a good listener is literally the matter between life and death. And according to the Bible, the same is true for us. Being a good listener is a matter of life and death for a child of God. You know, whenever I gave my heart, my life to Jesus, I started reading God's Word. You know, and yeah, I read God's Word some prior to that, but whenever I gave my life over and I finally said yes to the Lord, man, I want to tell you, I started reading God's Word. And I'd like to tell you that I've always been in God's Word like that, in fact, ever since. But you know, I can't. In fact, whenever I was young in Christ, I was late teens, early 20s, I hardly ever read my Bible, kind of just in spurts, once in a while kind of thing. And for some reason, my spiritual walk with Christ was just kind of empty. Can you imagine that? It was just a little lifeless. You know, I'd come to church and I'd listen to sermons and that, and it's like, oh, that's good, and that's a whatever. I got through another kind of service thing, you know, whatever. But my life wasn't where I know that I needed to be. My life was just kind of empty. Even though I'd given my life to Christ, you know, or I had been walking in the Lord and not really had quite made that commitment to really say yes. It was just one of those things where the church thing was okay, but gosh, that's about all it was. was just on Sunday mornings. And that was once in a while. But you know, whenever I give my life over to Christ and Christ got a hold of me, you know, and that was really through a physical healing that I received in my early 20s, my life just totally turned around. And I began to get this hunger for God's Word. And it was just this incredible thing of where I just could not put God's Word down. I took my little New Testament to read at my workplace. I did that at breaks and during lunch, and I'd come home and I'd sit for hours reading the stories from the New Testament and from the Old Testament, and then I'd do the same thing the next day, which was a good thing because it helped prepare me for where God was bringing me onto this journey, because I was one of those people who wasn't really raised in the church. I was one of those people that would maybe come to church on Easter, once in a while kind of thing, up until my teenage years. And so I was hungering for this knowledge, this understanding of who God is and why God loves us like God does, and how God moves in our lives. And it was this extreme encounter, this meeting with the Lord every day that was so important to me. But listening for God in His Word, you see, it gave me life. It gave me life. And not being in God's Word made my life, my spiritual walk with Him, really empty, dull, dead. You see, being a good listener is a matter of life and death. And to listen, church, we have to be in God's Word. We have to be in God's Word if we're going to hear God speak to us. If we're truly going to want to know where God wants to move us in our life. You know, and there are still certain books today that I just can't hardly put down. I don't know about you, but one of the books that's a favorite of mine is the book of John, known as the book of miracles. When I open up John and I start reading into that, it's just one of those books I can't hardly put down. Exodus is another one of those books, and Acts, and James. James, too. I love the book of James. It's a very Jewish book. But James is a real favorite, and not just because it's part of my name, or that's only a few pages long, and a guy can read that pretty quick. In fact, read James today. It's a good book. Go home and read it. And to give you a head start, I want you to listen to these words from James 1. It's about listening, and it's about doing. James says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Those are good words. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking himself in a mirror goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Church, in this brief passage, James is offering a challenge for us to take God's Word seriously enough that it changes who we are. James invites us to listen to God's Word and to accept the truth of what it reveals and to change our behavior according to it. Not according to us. Not according to what makes us comfortable. Not according to what our society says is, yes, this is the right way, or this is a good way to live, but by God's Word and what it tells us. And sometimes it's not easy to listen to God's Word. I mean, how often do you hear the Bible read or it's shared together from the lectern, or you read it yourself, but the words just don't kind of sink in? It's hard to listen. It's sometimes hard to let those words sink in because it's a passage maybe that we've heard a number of times. You know, 100 years ago, when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, A young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. And these were the days, of course, before computers or anything like that. And so he went into this place and he applied for this job. And so he arrived at this business and he entered this large, busy room filled with noise and clatter, and including the sound of the telegraph in the background. And a sign on the reception's desk said that all applicants are to fill out a form and wait there until they're summoned to the office. And so this young man filled out his form and he sat down in the waiting area with all the other applicants. And after a few minutes, this young man stood up and he walked into the office. Well, naturally, the other applicants, they kind of perked up, wondered what in the world was going on. And soon the employer escorted the man out. And he said to the other applicants, he said, "Thank you for applying, but the job's just been filled." And the other applicants, they begin to grumble, and one finally spoke up and said, "Well, wait a minute, we don't understand this. We never got a chance to even be interviewed. And on top of this, this guy, he comes in late, and yet you hire him? That's just not fair." And the employer said, "I'm sorry that you feel that way, but you've all had the same opportunity. During the last several minutes while you've been sitting here, didn't you hear the telegraph key clicking? It was sending out the following words in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." None of you understood. None of you heard it. This young man did. And the job's his. Oh, church, you see, for far too often we let the words of the Bible drift in one ear and out the other. Or we say, "I've heard that," or "I've read that, you know, 1,000 times. And we kind of just turn a deaf ear. We kind of begin to skim over that. You see, the first chapter of James makes it clear. He says, don't do that. James writes, not only that do we need to listen, but we also need to accept the truth of what the Scriptures reveal to us. We have to listen with the intensity and the acceptance of Eric Winemaker, that blind mountain climber. Eric listens to that bell on the ropes and the words of his fellow climbers and the sound of his pickaxe hitting the ice. Eric listens because literally his life depends on it. And we need to be listening to the words of Scripture as if our life depends on it. Because it does. Because it does. When it comes to the Bible, we not only need to hear God's Word, but we also need to understand it and accept it as valid and important for our life. How I live my life, where I live my life, who I am as God's person. You know, it's said that John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, wrote these words inside the front cover of his Bible, that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It's a sad fact, church. When sin has control of our lives and we need the Bible the most, those are the times that we least likely read it. Why is that? Why is it that when we fall into sinful patterns, we try to avoid the subject of our faith altogether? And then we find ways to skip, you know, attending worship and reading God's Word, the very resource that can help lift us out of the pit, are the very things that we shy away from. It's said in Paul's second letter to Timothy, we read, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." You see, we're not only invited to read the Bible, we are invited to accept its teachings. The Bible teaches us things like remembering the Sabbath keeping it holy. Honoring our father and our mother, should not commit adultery, should not steal, she shouldn't bear false witness against her neighbor. You shouldn't want your neighbor's stuff. You shouldn't want to covet your neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You see, what the Bible teaches us is that we are not to argue or look for the loopholes. Instead, we're to accept what we read in the Word of God. James basically writes that indeed we are to listen and to accept what we read in God's Word. He also says that we should have behavior that matches that, that we should obey what we read in Scripture. And I want to tell you, these are words that our society really does not like to hear today. Words like, there is such thing as sin. that this notion of obeying, it's not a word that we like. Can't tell you how many weddings I've had, and the bride-to-be says, now, do we still do that word? In weddings, it's like, no, that hasn't been a part of a wedding service forever. But commitment has. Yeah. Loving that other person for the rest of your life is part of it. Yeah. But you see, that's obeying God's word, isn't it? It's just a different way of saying it. See, James basically writes that indeed we are to listen and we are to accept what we read in God's word. And he also says that, you know, we should have the behavior that matches it. But isn't it amazing how you and I have the ability to behave in patterns that contradict our knowledge? I mean, whenever we hear the words from a doctor and even accept those words as true, yet we don't allow them to change our behavior. Happens all the time. What's the doctor tell us? Almost every time we go to a visit, what's the doctor always tell us? Eat right. Exercise. We hear it and we hear it and we hear it. We know it. We count it as true. We know it's truth. But yet, we choose not to follow that truth. Some of us do, and some of us try to do it at times. But you see, we can hear the words. We can behave in patterns that contradict our knowledge. Well, this week, our invitation in Committed to Christ, 6 weeks or 6 steps to a generous life, is not to just simply clock in hours of reading God's Word. That's not what I want you to do here. But it is to let the words of God's holy word, this sacred book, change our lives. And to truly change our behavior. To change us from who we are on the inside. To allow us to think as the Lord would want us to think. And to live this life and to be compassionate and to be caring as this world calls us to be. To be committed to one another and to be committed to this life as Christian disciples. So you see, the question really becomes, is are you ready not only to read, but to obey? Are you ready to obey? You see, in James' letter, he says that we become motivated to change by looking into the mirror of God's Word. He writes, those who hear but don't do the Word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror. They look at themselves and they walk away and immediately they forget what they were like. See, normally people look in a mirror for a reason, don't we? And if they see a hair is out of place, they fix it. If they see a piece of lettuce stuck between their teeth, hopefully they remove it, right? If they see that they cut themselves shaving, they try to stop the bleeding, right? In other words, when you look into the Bible and you see something that needs to be fixed and you don't turn away, ask God for the courage and the guidance and the strength to change. And so today, are you ready to grow one more step in your commitment in reading God's Word? Are you ready to live this life by living in God's Word. Are you? Yes? I hope so. Well, here's some things that you might try in helping you to do just that. First thing is, set aside a regular time each day to spend at least 15 minutes in God's Word. You know, find a quiet place, maybe a place at work or at school, and let that place become holy ground for you. And just open up the sacred pages and invite God to speak to you through His Word, because He will. He will. If you don't have a Bible, make a commitment to get one, all right? And if you can't afford a Bible, see me. I'll get you one, all right? If you have a Bible, but it just kind of seems to be gathering box, or it's in a box somewhere that you put it, make that commitment today to go and dig that thing out. And every Sunday morning, read the Scriptures as you prepare to attend worship. Or if you don't happen to get to worship, make sure you spend some time on that Sunday morning reading God's Word and allowing God to speak to you. If you've developed a habit of reading the Bible on Sundays mornings, well, make a commitment to read it daily. If you've already have a daily Bible reading habit, make a commitment to read it systematically instead of randomly. You might even consider reading the New Testament from beginning to end, or using some kind of a schedule to read the entire Bible in a year or two or 3 year kind of thing. If you currently read the Bible alone, make a commitment to be a part of a Bible study or a group that meets regularly to better understand what you read and what you need and who you are as a person in Christ. But no matter where your level of commitment is, let that sink in and live God's Word, obeying God's Word, and allow God to bless your life so it'll be holy and it will be a blessing. That's what it is to be holy, is to be a blessing to others. So today, as the ushers come forward with our commitment cards, I just want to encourage you as committed Christians. Our ushers, would you come at this time, and we'll take those cards and we'll begin to pass those out. I want to just encourage you to take that second step that'll lead you to a generous life, helping you to mature as Jesus' disciples. And I invite you to make a commitment to grow in your Bible reading. And I want you to remember that the cards that we fill out today is only going to be seen by me, and at the end of our series together, I'll have them available for you so that you can take those back and so that you can be reminded of the covenant and the commitments that we make through this series. Go now in the strength and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all, and may you know the peace of Jesus Christ in your heart. Amen.